This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. In this study, Pastor Rick and Kay Warren share biblical wisdom and their life experiences to help you find God's path to peace in even the most difficult seasons of life. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get a set of 52 Bible verse memorization cards for this series, How to Get Through What You're Going Through. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Surrender, the Path to Peace.
The Bible says, look there on your outline, Romans 15, verse 4, everything written in the scriptures was written to teach us in order that we might have hope. Circle that word hope. The Bible says that God, everything God gave us in the Bible was given for our encouragement and for our hope. And so these stories that are in the Bible, they're not just there for stories. This story of David losing a child is not just a story. It teaches us the principles of the path to peace through surrender. Now, I don't know what losses you've had, and I don't know what the losses that are going to come in your life or in my life either, but you're going to need to know how to respond to them. So let's look at David and this story of him losing a child and then what he learned to do as a result of it. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 16 to 24, it says this. David begged God to spare the child. Now, let me just say it. Bathsheba was pregnant. The baby was born. And then the baby gets very, very sick. And it is near death. And David is freaking out. And like any new dad, he is on the floor praying and crying and weeping. And it says, David begged God to spare the child. He went without food. In other words, he's fasting. And he lay all night on the bare ground. He's praying to God. Now, the leaders of the nation, remember, David is the king of Israel. The leaders of the nation pleaded with David to get up and to go eat something, eat with them. But he refused. Then on the seventh day, the baby died. So this had been going on for days and days. No food, no eating, just praying. On the seventh day, the baby died. Now, David's advisors were afraid to tell him. He was so broken up about the baby being sick, they said, what's he going to do? What's he going to do when to himself when we hear, when he tell him that the child is dead? So they're worried about him. But when David saw them whispering, he realized what had happened. Is the baby dead, he asked. And yes, they replied. Now, that's the setup of the story. And the rest of the story that Kay and I are going to share with you are the six things that David does after he has a major loss. He's been praying all of his life for this baby to be well, but the baby dies. I told you that I prayed every day of Matthew's life for 27 years that God would heal him of his mental illness. And it didn't happen. It was the number one prayer of my life, and it didn't happen. Now, what does David do after this? Is he going to let it destroy him? Is he going to let it define him? Or is he going to let it develop him? David does six things. If you ever needed to take notes, it's this weekend. Write these down. The first thing I need to do if I want to get on the pathway to peace is this: accept what cannot be changed. That's the first thing I have to do on the path to peace. That's the first step in surrender. I have to accept what cannot be changed. You know, when people receive bad news, what's the first response to it? I don't believe it. Exactly. I don't believe it. We reject it. In fact, usually if you tell somebody some really bad, shocking news, here's what they'll start doing. They'll go like this. No, no. No, 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 it can't be. I don't believe it. It couldn't be. It's impossible. It's not real, because our minds reject shocking news. And the first reaction is, no, it can't happen. It's not supposed to happen like this. That's the first typical reaction. But slowly, reality starts to set in, and you can't deny it anymore. And that's where surrender comes in. Surrender is accepting of reality. Here's what David did. Look there on your outline. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22 and 23. David said this, "I fasted and I wept while the child was alive, for I thought perhaps the Lord would be gracious and let the child live. But why should I fast when he is dead? Can I bring him back again?" The answer is no. What is David doing here? He's accepting what cannot be changed. Now, what I say when I say accepting what can't be changed, in whatever loss you've had in your life, no matter what the loss is, the first thing you have to do is, if it's over, it's over. And you accept what cannot be changed. Now, acceptance doesn't mean you stop caring. No. And acceptance doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It does. And acceptance doesn't mean you even think that what happened is good. It's not. None of that's acceptance. Acceptance simply means I can't change it.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment. But first, we live in a broken world where nothing works perfectly, and we often experience loss, fear, frustration, and pain. And because of that, we need to spend time with God in prayer every day, seeking His peace and protection for our lives and for others. But sometimes we are so overwhelmed and depleted, we simply don't know what to pray. That's why Pastor Rick wrote a special comforting prayer that you can pray today. Just text the word FREE to 800-600-5004. That's the word FREE to 800-600-5004. And we'll send you a download of Rick's special prayer. Know that when you pray, God will hear and bring the comfort He promises. Rick will be back in a moment with the second half of today's lesson.
Scripture memorization is a powerful tool to help you remember God's promises, principles, and the purposes He has for you. That's why Pastor Rick created a very special scripture card set with 52 key verses from his How to Get Through What You're Going Through teaching series. This 52-card set is filled with beautiful artwork, accented by stunning gold-foiled designs. These verses will help you remember that God is in control and that He will bring you good out of bad. And today, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world, we'll send you the How to Get Through What You're Going Through scripture card set to say thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. And be sure to let us know the call letters of this station. Thank you so much for your support.
Now let's get back to today's lesson here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope.
Acceptance simply means I can't change it. That's the first step. Accept what can't be changed. The second, and Kay's going to come and talk about this, is remember it's not the end of the story. Would you welcome her?
It's not the end of the story is the second step to finding peace through surrender. When we experience a devastating or catastrophic loss of some kind, it's really normal to feel like this is the end. This is over. Nothing good can ever come from it. Everything is lost. King David, as he experienced the loss of his son, he was able to focus on the hope that was ahead of him, believing that God wasn't finished. 2 Samuel 12, 23, he says about his son, "I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me." He understood and accepted that his son would never be with him again on this earth, but he was confident that he would be reunited with his child, that his son was not going to come to him, but he was going to go to his child, and that the baby's death was not the end of the story. I told you that I know that Matthew's death is not the end of his story. It's not the end of our family's story. But that doesn't mean that there aren't moments that I don't doubt, because I do. Matthew is in heaven, but I can't see heaven. I can stare out at the sky, and I can stare as hard as I can, and I can look, and I can look and try to penetrate the veil of this existence to catch a glimpse of heaven, and I can't. I simply cannot do it. And what I'm learning to say is this: Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And if you will be honest about your own walk with God, there have got to be those moments in which you would say that same thing: God, I believe, I do, I believe. But there are still these doubts. There are these things that I can't see, things that are mysterious, things that I don't know what to do with. And so we just end that prayer with, God, help my unbelief. There's nothing wrong with praying a prayer like that. See, God never is content to let a single one of our stories end in ashes. He promises that he will bring beauty from ashes. Where I struggle is sometimes believing not that he will bring beauty from ashes, but how. How will he bring beauty from these ashes? Because I am completely and utterly convinced that he will not let our story end with just ashes. I told you about the hope box that I had all the years that Matthew was ill, and that I believed, and how I stuffed it full of verses that I was clinging to, that God was going to heal Matthew, and then God didn't heal Matthew. And I told you that what I had now, besides rebuilding this hope box, is that I had a mental picture of a little pot that I was collecting, and I called it the mystery pot, and I was putting all the things that I don't know what to do with in that pot. Well, I have a friend who knows that I'm very literal, and I now have a little mystery pot, if you will, and this little pot has questions. It has questions, and every time I think of another question that I don't know how to answer, that I don't know the answer to, that I can't figure out, it goes in the pot, and it sits on my devotional table. And it sits there as a reminder of, this is real. This is real stuff that I'm dealing with. The questions that you have about faith and about the losses in your life, they are real questions. And so if you do something like this, a little pot or something else, but the point of it for me as I look at it is not that I have questions that I can't answer. The point of this is to remind me that God will not let ashes be the end of the story. In grief, one of the most challenging transitions I'm discovering is moving toward the future rather than hanging around in the past. That's a really challenging thing for me. Jerry Sitzer, he lost his mother, his wife, and his four-year-old daughter in a car accident. And he wrote this incredible book. And he says, when talking about how do we move into the future, he says this: how could I conceive of a future without them? The very thought was abhorrent to me. Whenever I thought of the future, I still found them there, but they were never going to be there, which only made me more aware of how devastating my loss was. I remembered a past that included people I did not want to give up, and I imagined a future that excluded people I desperately wanted to keep. And I find this very true. When we think of the past, our loved one is in it. Every time you think of the past, that person you've lost is in your past. They were there. They were such an integral part of it. And it's so impossible in these early stages, at least for us, to envision a future in which our loved one isn't there. And so what we do, if we're not careful, is we get stuck in the present. We get stuck here in this limbo land because we don't want to leave the past, because that's where the loved one was, and we can't envision a future in which they're not there. We're disbelieving that they won't, and so we stay in this very uncomfortable limbo land of the present. And some of you would probably agree with me that a little nagging sense of guilt can creep in. It's been 4.5 months. I'm breathing again. But when you think of going into a future without the one that you love, there's a little bit of a sense of, if I move into a future, am I forgetting him? Am I neglecting him? And if any of you have been in any of that situation, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a very common response in grief or guilt or denial or deep sorrow. I don't want a future in which my loved one isn't a part. So how does surrender help us find peace in this grief as we think about a future, as we, like David, understand that our loved one is not coming back or that loss is not changing? How do we find peace in that? When you try to figure out the future, you're grasping at things that are mine, Jesus says. This, like all forms of worry, is an act of rebellion, doubting my promises to care for you. Whenever you find yourself worrying about the future, Jesus says, repent and return to me, and I will show you the next step forward, and the one after that, and the one after that. Relax and enjoy the journey in my presence, trusting me to open up the way before you as you go. As you can tell, I'm not totally there yet, but I'm edging closer. The third step that we see from this story of how David handled the loss of his child is to take care of yourself. Now, that may sound like a strange one, but every single one of these steps is an important part of the process of experiencing the peace of God. 2 Samuel 12:20, it says, then David got up from the ground, washed himself, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. After his son died, King David, he got up from the ground where he had been lying prostrate in grief. He put on lotions, he washed himself, and he changed his clothes. Those sound like rather ordinary activities. You know, you take a bath, you change clothes. That's what we do every day, right? Except for grief and loss have a way of removing the desire to even take care of yourself. When you're in deep grief, when you're in suffering, when you're in mourning, who cares what you wear? It doesn't matter. Who cares whether you took a shower today or how many days it's been since you brushed your teeth? Who cares what's happening on the news? The newspaper is meaningless. The ticker tape of world events don't matter at all. In fact, eating can sometimes be completely immaterial. Nothing tastes right. Or because nothing tastes right, you eat more and more, just trying to make something feel again and take that ache away. Sleep can become a challenge. Either sleeping too much or not able to sleep night after night. And exercise sounds like the most ridiculous thing anybody could ever suggest to you. And this is all so understandable if you have been through this kind of grief. You know what I'm talking about. Because shock has a way of paralyzing us. Sorrow has a way of overwhelming us. But King David gives us a concrete example of how we can gradually begin to respond. Because he had accepted what he couldn't change, he couldn't bring his child back to him. And because he knew it wasn't the end of the story, and that each day here was just one day closer to being reunited with his son, he was willing to live in the tension of both mourning and living. He was willing to stay in that place of the tension of mourning and grieving, and still deciding that he was going to live. And to live meant that he was going to have to take care of himself physically. So he got up from the ground. I love that picture because it tells me that when he got the news, he hit the ground. He hit the ground when he got the news that his baby had died. I understand that. I too hit the ground when I got the news. So he got up from the ground and he resumed taking a shower and combing his hair. A month or so after Matthew passed away, we were together as a family for a weekend. And that entire weekend, I did not shower. I don't think I changed clothes. I know I didn't brush my teeth. I didn't put on any makeup. And then when I went back to saw my older son, Josh, about 3 days later, I walked in the room and he says, Mom, you look really nice. And I said, it's amazing what personal hygiene can do for you, isn't it? Because I hadn't done it for a while. The point is this, that if we're going to go on living, if we're going to take care of ourselves, we have to make these symbolic, this what David did, it was symbolic of his decision to go on living, to re-enter into life, to participate in life again. It's a tough place to be, but you and I have to learn to live that we can simultaneously grieve and simultaneously live in this world at the same time. Which leads us to that next step of surrender, the step four, which is to refocus on God through worship, because God will help us do this, even as difficult as it seems. 2 Samuel 12:20 says, then he, talking about David, went to the tabernacle and he worshiped the Lord. Psalm 73:16-17 says, I tried to understand all this, but it was too hard for me to see until I went to the temple of God. Because King David knew that worship can expand our spiritual insight and understanding, he headed straight for God's house in his grief. When he received that overwhelming news of the death of his child, this loss that had taken him to the ground, that laid him prostrate on the ground, he headed straight for God's house. It's because he knew that in worship, we begin to catch a glimpse of how God is moving and working in the losses, how he's working in our world and how he's working in our lives when we come in humble surrender and adoration of him. See, the temptation in our grief is to turn away from God. It's to run from him. It's to go as far in the other direction as we can because we figure in some way God is responsible. And so if he has allowed this to happen and we're mad and we're angry and we're shocked and we're heartbroken, we run. And all of those emotions are okay, but they're not long-term responses. Long-term, we have to figure out how to be in worship again. God will never abandon you in your anger. He will never abandon you in your grief. He will never abandon you in your tears. He will never abandon you in your doubts, ever.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. In this study, Pastor Rick and Kay Warren share biblical wisdom and their life experiences to help you find God's path to peace in even the most difficult seasons of life. We live in a broken world where nothing works perfectly, and we often experience loss, fear, frustration, and pain. And because of that, we need to spend time with God in prayer every day, seeking his peace and protection for our lives and for others. But sometimes we are so overwhelmed and depleted, we simply don't know what to pray. That's why Pastor Rick wrote a special comforting prayer that you can pray today. Just text the word FREE to 800-600-5004. That's the word FREE to 800-600-5004. And we'll send you a download of Rick's special prayer. Know that when you pray, God will hear and bring the comfort he promises. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, scripture memorization is a powerful tool to help you remember God's promises, principles, and the purposes he has for you. That's why Pastor Rick created a very special scripture card set with 52 key verses from his How to Get Through What You're Going Through teaching series. Here's Rick to tell you more.
Friends, one of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize scripture. God tells us in Proverbs 7, verse 2, "Guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and also keep them deep within your heart." Now, you may not think you've got a good memory, but the truth is we all remember what's important to us. For instance, you remember phone numbers and dates that you care about. I've heard people say they can't memorize anything, yet they can quote a song lyrics from their childhood, or they can rattle off a statistic for their favorite baseball player. You see, memory is a skill that you can learn, and it's also a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, study after study has shown that memorizing scripture will cause your brain to have a stronger memory in other areas too. So when you memorize scripture, you're actually benefiting a lot of other areas in your life. Now, here's how I want to help you memorize God's Word. We've put together a new packet, a new set of cards with verses from the Bible for you to memorize. And these are good, easily memorizable verses. And you can put these cards around your house, or you can put them on your refrigerator, or, you know, tape them to the mirror where you brush your teeth, or you can put them by your bed, or in your car, in the visor. It doesn't really matter, but they're very beautiful, and they will keep these Bible verses, God's Word, before you every day, helping you to memorize the Word of God. I hope you'll take advantage of this new resource.
The How to Get Through What You're Going Through scripture card set is filled with beautiful artwork, accented by stunning gold foil designs. This set of 52 cards will help you remember that God is in control, even during difficult seasons, and that only He can bring good out of bad. And today, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world, we'll send you the How to Get Through What You're Going Through scripture card set to say thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. And be sure to let us know what station you heard us on. Thanks so much for your support. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.